This spring here at Millard Church, we have been focusing on the trees of Scripture. The tree of life, the burning bush, the vine and the branches, among others. And so tonight, on this night when Jesus was betrayed, I thought it appropriate that we should visit with him the Garden of Gethsemane, the olive grove, where John tells us he often went to meet with his disciples, and where he went with them to pray in the last hours before his arrest. I want to invite us to take our place in the garden tonight among Jesus' weak and weary followers, where Jesus invites us to watch and pray as the events of his passion unfold. On this night, as on no other night, we are invited to be present with Jesus in his great struggle, in his suffering. The Gospels tell us that Jesus often withdrew by himself to pray. But on no other occasion did his disciples accompany him to bear witness and to share in that time of intimacy with God. Here in the garden, through the gospel accounts, we get to share in the privileged position of Peter and James and John as they sit nearby and overhear Jesus' words, even as their eyes grow heavy. For Jesus, the quiet of Gethsemane was no calm before the storm. It was a place of great struggle. In this place where olives were pressed and crushed to extract their oil, the Messiah, literally the one who was anointed with oil, is under intense pressure and bearing a crushing weight. Mark tells us that he was distressed and troubled, overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Matthew says he fell with his face to the ground as he prayed. Luke adds that in his anguish, his sweat was like drops of blood. When the writer of Hebrews pictures this scene, he says that during the days of his earthly life, Jesus offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries to the one who could save him from death. This was Jesus' last great struggle with temptation. Having been tempted in the wilderness at the outset of his ministry, now he is tempted once more in the garden. Like our first ancestors all those years ago on the opening pages of Genesis, Jesus is tempted again in a garden. What until now Jesus had spoken of with finality and determination, that the Son of Man would be betrayed and crucified and on the third day rise again. Now we hear him wrestling with in prayer. If it is possible, Father, let this hour pass me by. Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Make no mistake, this is Jesus' most serious test. In this crucial moment, Jesus wants and needs the support of his closest friends. Not servants, not even disciples, but as he has just finished telling them in the upper room, his friends. I've called you friends, he said, because everything that I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. That same intimacy that Jesus shares with God, whom he uniquely addresses as Abba, Father, he shares with his disciples, his friends. And Jesus asks them, he needs them to share in his sorrow, in his struggle now in the face of death. Stay here and watch with me. Watch and pray. This is Jesus at his most human, his most vulnerable. intimacy that I think that most of us would rather not share. I think we would rather keep this narrative at a comfortable and safe distance. But Jesus says, sit here. Stay here. Watch with me. Pray with me. And yet in the face of Jesus' need and his desire for those closest to him to be present with him in the struggle, it's really our weakness and failure as human beings that is on display in the garden. Jesus' friends, who he was counting on to stay awake, to watch and pray, fall asleep in the hour of his greatest need, not once, but three times. In light of Jesus' repeated appeals in the previous chapter to stay alert, to stay watchful and mindful of the signs of the times, the disciples' slumber at this most critical juncture is, in the words of Mark Davis, more failure than fatigue. Disciples have let him down. It's really just the latest in an ongoing pattern of disappointment and failure that runs throughout the gospel. The disciples consistently misunderstand and misappropriate Jesus' words. One will betray him, another will deny him. And despite their best intentions and all their boasting and bravado, every last one of them will flee before this night is over. Finding them asleep, they are abashed and ashamed. They don't know what to say to him. Like each of us, more often than we would care to admit, we fall short, we let him down. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And yet, in all of this, find ourselves accepted and forgiven. The reformer John Calvin would preach on this text each year on the Sunday before Easter, reminding his congregation in Geneva that though each of us misses the urgency of Jesus' struggle here in the garden, still he saves us, even when we nod off. The table that Jesus shared with his disciples earlier that evening was big enough to include all of his weak but willing followers. From John the beloved to Judas the betrayer, Jesus knew already who would betray, who would deny, who would desert him. And he told them so. Even as he broke the bread and poured the wine that symbolized his life for the world, he knew and accepted our weakness and our failure. We find ourselves forgiven precisely in that Jesus succeeded in the garden, in that struggle against temptation where all humanity had failed from Adam up until today. This is where the fate of the world was decided. With the words, not my will, but yours be done. The author of Hebrews goes on that because of his reverent submission and obedience, Jesus was heard and made perfect through what he suffered, so that he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey. Jesus rose from that time of prayer resolute in the face of betrayal and suffering and death, and able to finish the work that his Father had given him to do. And so we watch and pray as the events of the next several hours and days unfold. We watch and pray as the Lord of life is arrested and tried. We watch and pray as he is mocked and beaten and led to the cross. Watch and pray as he cries out in agony. and as those cries fall silent. We watch and pray as he's taken down from the cross and laid in tomb. And we watch and pray as we wait in hope for the resurrection. Let us watch and pray. In Jesus' name, amen.